It's called The Blue Hotel. Not really a news story, but a radio drama that we're trying to keep alive here at KPFK. I know the Janus Company is trying to keep it alive, and the
yes,
something's
but they've
happening.
Managed to kill it.
Well,
but the something's happening players will revive it.
The something's happening.
New Dimension.
The something's happening players, also known as the New Generation players.
New Generation, right?
We've already started a new series called The Dimension of Imagination, of which we have already produced a grand total of one, and another one coming up shortly. In fact, probably two coming up in the month of June. This is a bit of a departure from our normal, if you could call a series of one a normal series format, as we normally deal with science fiction and fantasy, which is
what are the
I know
two
popular
that we're
among your audience.
June?
The two we're going to do in June are hopefully original stories that I haven't plagiarized from somewhere else. One of them is called Botwinkle's World. It's about, I'll give you a preview, it's about a modern psychiatrist who, through some device or other, finds himself transplanted to Bedlam in the 1600s.
I hope he didn't go there by express.
I hope not. He left home without his American Express card, too, which is very unfortunate. Anyway, that's a preview. Tonight we're talking about...
Don't leave home without it.
CBS's great series Escape, which began in 1947. This particular episode comes from 1953. It was written by E. Jack Newman, and our apologies to you if you happen to be listening, that if we didn't quite do it the way you had intended.
We did it better.
We did it better, yeah. As far as we know, and that's not very far, but as far as we know, there are no existing transcriptions or any other kind of recordings of this particular episode. And so we're just guessing at this is the way it might have sounded. How this came about was Roy Hooper, who lives in Costa Mesa and is an old radio collector, sent a script in to Roy of Hollywood. Roy of Hollywood came to Dave of Westchester and said, do something with this. And so hopefully we've done something with it. The players are Dudley Knight, Larry Moss.
The Dudley Knight.
The Dudley Knight of Graveyard Shift fame. Stephen Batesel. Ed Thomas of KPFK News fame. Dave
Larry
Krebs.
Moss of KPFK.
Larry Moss of KPFK Newsmen. News fame.
And Dave Krebs.
And me, yeah. So, I guess...
There was a difficulty, however, that we should mention.
Which one? Yeah.
One of the characters in the
play is
a Swede. And there was a great deal of problems finding somebody who could do a Swedish accent.
We had an extremely difficult time in selecting the Swede since every one of us
wanted to play
the part. But we kind of solved that matter by doing two different versions of the Blue Hotel.
We will play the second version right after the first, and I don't think we should enlarge on it except to tell them. The background is that Larry Moss had this great Swede, and Dudley Knight has this fantastic Swedish accent, and Ed Thomas has a really neato Swede, and Dave Craig, do you know how to do a Swedish accent?
Well, I'm not quite sure if I could do it, but I will give it a try.
And they were doing it like every Saturday when that crew was here. Or when Dudley was here, there was this weirdest thing going on, and I even picked it up a little bit, but they didn't. I wasn't able to do the part. I allowed that. I would let them let me star in.
She did have a part for you, you know, but somehow our author Roy was so busy putting the folio together and doing all of the other wonderful things that he does here for the station that he just couldn't fit it into his nerve-wracking schedule.
It was a heartbreaking Saturday morning, by the way, when they put it together, because I was right downstairs in the station, and I went up and I said, I'm afraid you'll have to find somebody to sub for my part, because I just have to get the folio out. And I did, but I wasn't able to get on the show, and I regret it. But the show is, despite the fact that Roy of Hollywood doesn't appear on the show, it is good. And the sequel is fantastic. And now you know about the Swedish problem, and you will be ready for the sequel, which, it's going to be a fun hour.
And this might have been how The Blue Hotel sounded as it was broadcast on May the 24th, 1953 on CBS.
It's on tape 3BJ, and this is KPFK Los Angeles, and let's see what the Something's Happening players think that it would have sounded like.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
Tonight we escape to the Old West, to an innocent game of chance in which fate deals violence and doom, as Stephen Crane tells it in his story, The Blue Hotel.
Now, Act One of The Blue Hotel.
The Palace Hotel is the first thing you see when you come into Fort Romper, Nebraska. It's painted blue. Now, you'd expect it to be brown or red or dark green like all the other buildings stuck out there in the middle of the prairie. But the man who built it decided on blue, and blue it was. Now, the color isn't so important, but what happened there is important. It's important to you and me and any man who ever wondered about the upside-downness of creation, about right and wrong in a mad, crazy world. When I was in Fort Romper, I saw a coward looking for courage. And do you know what happened to him? He died. There were five of us in on it. One fellow was a big cowboy whose real name was Bill. Another was a gambler whose name I don't recollect. Then there was Pat Scully and his son Johnny. They ran the Palace Hotel, the Blue Hotel. And last, of course, there was me. I'm a little man. My name is Blank. They call me the Easterner.
Johnny! Johnny!
Yeah, Pa?
Take these gentlemen's bags up to their rooms.
All right, Pa.
My son Johnny, man. You just peer right off there and make yourselves to home. here's the key to your room, Mr. Blank. Right through that door.
Thanks, Mr. Scully.
And yours, sir, right next to him.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Marty.
And here's yours, the top of the stairs.
Why?
Eh?
The others are on this floor, close to the stove. Why am I up above?
Oh, there's a good big stove up there, too. I'll keep it going all night. You won't be cold.
Thank you.
I'll go help Johnny with them bags here. Back in a few minutes.
My name's Bill. Everybody calls me Cowboy. Heard him call you Mr. Blank.
Nice to meet you, Bill.
I'm going out to work on a ranch near the Dakota line, punching cows.
On the way to the West Coast myself.
How about you, stranger?
I am a tailor. I am from New York City.
Tailor, huh? Now, that's a mighty interesting line of work for a man to get into. Tailored New York City, did you, mister?
I worked there 14 years.
First trip west?
It is my first time away from New York. I've heard that some of these western communities are dangerous.
Well, not anymore. Not anymore any place else. You ain't scared getting killed, are you, stranger?
Excuse me, please. I think I go to my room now.
Queer one. What do you reckon he is, Mr. Blank? A Swede?
I'd say so.
Not a very friendly critter, is he?
After dinner, when we were all settled around the stove, the Swede stood near the window, watching the storm outside. Silent and away from everybody. By this time, we all wondered what ailed him.
How about some cards?
Swell idea.
All right with me.
Hey, you, stranger. How about it? Want to play some cards?
Why not?
Yeah, let's pull up a chair here. There you go.
Two of spades.
You next.
I have a five of hearts.
I'll be danged.
Four spades. I got a ten of spades.
You deal, Johnny. Here we go.
When the Swede sat down, it was as though he expected to be assaulted. He'd break out in that nervous laugh every few minutes. At first it bothered us all, but after a while, everybody got interested in the game and forgot about the manners of the Swede.
Ten and king.
You sure had him that time.
I suppose there have been a good many men killed in this room.
What are you talking about, mister?
Oh, you know what I mean.
I'm a liar if I do.
What's wrong with you, mister?
They say they don't know what I mean.
I don't understand you either.
Oh, I see. You're all against me.
What are you getting at, anyhow?
I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight.
Well, who thought you did, mister? How in the heck...
These men are going to kill me.
Kill you? What you talking about, mister? What is this, Johnny?
I don't know, Pa. He's crazy, I guess.
Oh, I know. I know what will happen. I know I won't get out of here alive.
I'm doggone if that don't beat all.
You've been troubling this man, Johnny.
Pa, I ain't done nothing to him.
Now, if anybody has trouble you, I'll take care of him. This is my house. You are under my roof. And I will not allow any peaceable man to be troubled here. All of you understand that?
Never mind, Mr. Scully, never mind. I will go away. I do not wish to be killed.
Now, wait, now, just a minute.
I didn't see anything wrong at all, Mr. Scully.
I'll get to the bottom of this.
That's the doggonedest Swede I ever saw. What do you think makes him act that way?
I don't know, but it seems to me this man's been reading some dime novel and thinks he's right in the middle of it, the shooting and stabbing and all.
Well, this is only Nebraska. Really gets out west.
It isn't different there, even, not these days.
Well, it's awful funny.
Yeah. Johnny and the cowboy and I took our places by the stove, wondering what might be going on upstairs between Scully and the Swede. Outside, the storm was still howling and wailing around the hotel. After a while, we stopped talking and just listened to it. Then...
I'll be damned.
What do you suppose he said to him?
I have no idea.
Hey, come on now. Move into that stove, huh? Hey, Johnny. Johnny, you hear your pa? Move over.
Yeah.
Well, come on. Get over there.
Plenty of room on the other side of the stove.
Let the boy sit where he likes.
All right.
Mr. Scully showed me a picture of his youngest daughter, Carrie. She's a very nice child for this part of the country. I was also rewarded with the history of the Scully family since settling here. A very ignominious event, in my opinion.
What's funny?
All of it. Everything. The entire team.
Pa, this Swede's just carrying on like he owns this place now.
Shut up, Johnny.
I am thirsty.
I'll get you a drink of water.
No, I get it myself.
Yes, only that he's from the east, and he thought this was a tough place, that's all. He's all right now.
Well, he may be all right now, but I don't see it. Other time he was scared, but now he's too fresh.
Now, what do I keep here, huh? What do I keep? I tell you, I keep a hotel. A hotel, do you mind? A guest under my roof has sacred privileges. Not one word shall we hear that would prejudice him in favor of going away. Now, I'll not have it. Now, there's no place in this here town that they can say that ever took in a guest of mine because he was afraid to stay here. Am I right?
Yep, Mr. Scully. I think you're right.
I think you're right, Mr. Scully.
Well, Johnny?
I got nothing to say, Pa.
Everyone knew it was working up to something. We didn't know what. When the Swede came back, he fizzed like a fire wheel. He looked from one to the other, hating us and putting questions to us as fast as he could think of them. Johnny Scully hated right back.
Let's try the cards again, huh, Mr. Scully?
I don't think...
Come on, Mr. Scully. You want your guests to be happy, don't you? You, man, going to Dakota.
Well, if the others want to, I'll play, mister.
And the quiet watch for Mr. Blank?
I'll play.
Jack.
Ten.
And queen.
Ace.
I've got one, too. Ace.
Very lucky.
Yeah, my turn again. Six.
Seven of hearts.
I've got another queen.
Good boy.
A king this time.
Wait, boys. I've got one more ace.
You are cheating.
Hey, stop, I say, stop!
I won't allow no man to say I cheated. He says I cheated. He's a dirty liar.
Quick now. Do you hear me?
He did cheat. I saw him cheat.
I'll tell any man who says I cheat. Did you say I cheated?
Yes. Yes, you cheated.
All right, now hold it. I can't put up with it any longer. I stood this squeeze as long as I can. We'll take him outside and let him fight it out.
Now, Act Two of the Blue Hotel.
You'll all jump on me. I can't lick you all.
Now, you listen to me, mister. You won't have to whip all of us. You'll have to whip my son, Johnny. And the man that troubles you during that time will have to deal with me.
I don't believe you. I don't believe any of you.
Well, you can take it or leave it, but it's the truth. Now, just outside that door, there's a flat place under the overhang. When we go out, I'll leave the door open so the light will come out from the room. Now, stay in the light. You got that? Stay in the light. I don't want anybody getting lost in this kind of storm. Now, y'all set, boys?
Yep.
Yes.
You, mister?
Yes, but...
The man told you nobody's gonna jump you. Now, just get on out there and fight. You've been wanting to ever since you got here.
Now, leave him alone, cowboy. Now, let's go. Now!
Yee-haw! Go to it, Johnny! Kill him! Kill him!
Keep him back!
I kill you!
Kill him, Johnny! Kill him!
Come on!
The fight lasted almost half an hour. Out there on the frozen ground, they rolled and pitched and struck each other and fell and rose to do it all over again. Grunting, clawing, screaming with rage and hurt, while Scully and the cowboy and I watched. Sometimes there was no way to tell who was down and who was up. And I could only try to find out how it was going and long for the end, the priceless end of the senseless thing. It happened when Johnny staggered backward and fell half across the open doorway, his face a raw, pulpy sight.
Oh, you don't, mister. Now, just wait a minute. See if he can get up.
Have me get him inside, Mr. Blake. And close the door. Everybody in. Johnny.
Oh, Pa. Pa.
Johnny, can you go on with it? Johnny? No.
Yeah.
Now, just wait a minute now, Johnny. Wait till you get your wind now.
Just keep your hands off him, mister, till he gets on his feet.
I'll take care of him, all right.
This is enough. Let it go as it stands. This is enough.
As long as I can move, I'll fight him.
Mr. Scully.
Let him be. Son, are you any good yet?
I ain't any good anymore. He was too heavy for me.
Stranger, it's all up on our side. Johnny is whooped.
The Swede went upstairs to his room. We carried Johnny to the rear of the house where his two sisters began to work on his cut and bleeding face. They shooed us away, and there was nothing to do but go back and sit around the stove once more. It was a long time before anybody talked.
I'd like to fight this here Dutchman myself.
Oh, it wouldn't be right, cowboy. It was Johnny's fight, and Yeah, now we mustn't whip the man just because he's whipped Johnny.
Yeah, it's true enough, but he better not get fresh with me when he comes back down, because I couldn't stand no more
now
of it.
You not say a word to him.
You want to tell me how much I owe you?
You owe me nothing.
Nothing, eh?
That's what he said, stranger. Nothing. And the boy's 40 pounds under you. You ain't got nothing to be so frisky about.
Now, stop. You don't owe me nothing.
I guess you're right. I guess if it was any way at all, you'd owe me something. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Goodbye, gentlemen.
That was a pretty hard minute for me to take.
For any of us to take, Mr. Scully.
One bang on his face be worth $100 to me. But it wouldn't be right.
I'd like to take that Swede. I'd like to take him and beat him into the ground.
That's the last time any of us saw the Swede. But remember, besides Johnny and Pat Scully, the cowboy and myself, there was another man in on what happened, the gambler. He was playing cards in a saloon down the street that night. We heard about it later, what happened when the Swede stopped in the saloon.
Pretty bad night.
Yes. But it's good enough for me.
So?
Yes, I like this weather. It suits me.
So?
Well, I guess I'll have another drink.
How'd you hurt your face, mister?
I just beat up a man down there at Scully's hotel.
Who'd you beat up, mister?
Johnny Scully, son of the man who runs it. He'll know I beat him up for a long time to come. I made a good job of it, all right. They had to carry him away after I finished with him. Have a drink?
No, thanks. Your deal, Jim.
Well, then, why don't you have one?
Not drinking these days, mister.
I whipped the man tonight. I whipped a man tonight, and I want to celebrate it. I whipped him good. Gentlemen, I want you all to have a drink. Well?
Thanks. We don't want one right now.
Well, it seems I can't get anybody to drink with me in this town.
These gentlemen are playing cards and don't want to be disturbed.
Get your hands off me. Don't try to shut me up. I want people to drink with me, and I want them to drink right now. Do you understand? You, do you understand? I asked you to drink with me because I whipped a man.
My friend, I don't know you.
Oh, come on, have a drink.
Take your hand off my shoulder, friend.
I'll make you drink.
This is a knife.
On your feet, you little... I whipped a man.
You killed him.
He's dead.
I'm getting out of here. Me too. Where's my money?
I think we better go.
Henry?
Yeah?
I'm going now. You tell him where they can find me. I'll be waiting for him.
A few months later, I ran into the cowboy up near the Dakota line. Strangely enough, in a hotel. We ate together, and then after dinner, we sat down and began talking. The last thing we got around to was the Swede.
What happened, Mr. Blank?
Well, the man who killed him got 3 years. It was a light sentence. Everybody was on the gambler's side there in Fort Romper.
Well, if that bartender had been any good, he'd have gone in and cracked that crazy Swede over the head with a bottle in the beginning. Stopped all the murdering. A
thousand things could have happened.
If that Swede hadn't said Johnny was cheating, he'd be alive this minute. He was an awful fool. game played for fun, too, not for money. I believe he was crazy.
The Swede might not have been killed if everything had been square.
What do you mean, if everything had been square? Why, when he said that Johnny was cheating, he acted like a jackass. And when he went into the saloon, he was just asking for trouble.
You're a fool, cowboy. I'm a fool. All of us.
Huh?
Johnny was cheating in that game.
Cheating for fun, old cowboy.
Fun or not, Johnny was cheating, and I saw him. I know it. And I refuse to stand up and be a man. I let the Swede fight it out alone. And you. You did the same thing. And Scully, too. We're all in on it.
A gambler knifed him.
A gambler. Every sin is the result of collaboration. The gambler did the killing, but it was the five of us that collaborated in the murder of that Swede. You, me, Johnny, Scully, and that gambler. It was merely a culmination, an apex of human movement. Who takes the punishment now? You know it just as well as I do. We all know it.
But I didn't do anything, did I?
Exactly my point. None of us did anything.
Escape, under the direction of David L. Krebs, has brought you The Blue Hotel by Stephen Crane, adapted for radio by E. Jack Newman. Featured in the cast were Larry Moss as Scully, Stephen Batesole as Johnny, Dave Krebs as the cowboy, Ed Thomas as the Swede, and Dudley Knight as your narrator, Mr. Blank. Sound patterns by the New Generation Players. Next week...
You are trapped in a lonely lighthouse off the steaming jungle coast of French Guiana. With you are a wounded man, helpless and in agony, and a demented actor who is slowly losing his mind. Outside, swarming over the lighthouse, clamoring to get in, is a ravenous army of huge rats from which there can be no escape.
Join us next time for George Trudeau's hair-raising tale, Three Skeleton Key.